So good morning and welcome to Thought for the Day. We're going to be looking today at Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 through to 12. But before we do that, we're going to commit our time to the Lord. We're going to ask that he speaks to us. Glorious Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you that as we come into your presence, we can come boldly. We come boldly not because of anything that we have done, but because the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that's put to our account means that we can have access into your presence. And we rejoice in that. We thank you for this new day. We ask that as we seek to learn more from your word, that you would speak into our lives, that you would make us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask it for his sake. Amen. So let me read to you then from Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 through to 12. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, now know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So this morning then, we're thinking about the example that we give to others. Now, I wonder whether you have ever sent anyone to a shop with particular instructions to find a certain product. They've gone and then they return empty-handed. I couldn't find it, is the response when questioned. And almost immediately when you've asked that question, that original question, you follow it on with, well, did you ask someone? And it's usually at that point that things get a bit sketchy because it's clear that they did not. Now, in our text this morning, we see that God rewards those who put effort into seeking help. Not just any help, but his help. In too many minds, God has been cast as less than helpful. That is, you can ask, but you may not get an answer. And here it's made plain that God will respond. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. The responsibility is on us to put the effort in to get to the heart of the matter. Instead of being afraid to ask, we are to deliberately ask. In our asking, we show that we understand God to be interested in us. We show that we do not know what is best and that we require guidance. It's an understanding of who God is. And it's what we call prayer, isn't it? It's coming to him and seeking his guidance and his lead in our lives. All too often, we like to rush ahead with our decision making. We have worked it all out in our mind. This is the route that we're going and we don't stop to ask guidance. Well, we need to be those that come readily seeking guidance. Now, sometimes a child will come to you and say, have you seen my, and you can fill in the blank, it could be a toy, it could be earphones, it could be all sorts of things like that. And the question is, where have you looked, is usually the response that we give. And it doesn't take long to realise that their looking simply has amounted to nothing more than a cursory look around their room. Certainly no moving of things have taken place and no systematic search. Well, compare that with on the other hand, with the police when they search a crime scene. Areas are cordoned off. There are grid searches that take place in order that nothing is missed. They go through, they comb the grass almost, as it were, to find out if there's anything that they need to discover. And the truth is, the value of what you look for often determines the effort that you put into the search. Isaiah reminds us, doesn't he, in chapter 55 and verses 6 and 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Now is all the time that we know that we have. Now is all the time that we know that we have to find the Lord. And most particularly, we should be seeking him with that degree of fervency, more like the search at a crime scene than the cursory look around your room that a child might do if it's lost something. Or I know if you're a woman, you're saying, well, my husband does that as well. We are prone to just looking without actually looking, aren't we? Now, You have no other window of opportunity. All your effort in finding God will be rewarded. That's the promise, as it were, of these verses, that if you will seek God, if you will seek his answers, if you will seek him, you will discover that you will find him. And knocking also can be performed in such a way as to desire an answer, can't it? If you fear what the response might be, you can knock so quietly as to be able to say that you knocked, but to make sure that you are not heard. Excuse me. And then there is the kind of knocking that wakes up the whole house. So determined is it to get an answer. You're not going to allow anybody to sleep because you want to get in and you want to know what's going on. So what determines the way that we ask and the perception of the response that we anticipate is the view that we have of the one that we're trying to reach. And verses 9 to 11 in this little section of verses help us to see that we can trust our heavenly Father. Our own earthly fathers, our natural parents, if they are good parents, they sought to provide the best for us. So we can look back over our childhood and see that. If we didn't have a good childhood, then that's a lot more difficult. But many of us will have had good childhoods. And they sought to give us, our parents, sought to give us the things that we needed, most definitely. And even to give us at times those things that we asked for, which weren't detrimental for us. So how much more then will the all-wise God, the one in control of all things, the one who is good, how much more will he give us all that we need and ask for? James reminds us, doesn't he, in his letter, James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You see, we're not dealing with a fickle father who changes his mind or has mood swings. We are dealing with a consistently faithful God and a loving heavenly Father, one whom we can go to, we can seek, we can ask for his help, that we can knock and be sure of an answer, and he will give what is best. He will give what is for our blessing and for our benefit, that we might be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what closes up our section of verses then is a recognition that if our Heavenly Father is so generous and so faithful, then our behaviour and attitude should mirror his. If we trust God with our needs and our desires because he is faithful, so we should be faithful in our dealing with others. That's what's being driven to in these verses. You know, God is faithful in dealing with us, and so we should be faithful in dealing with others. It should be that we are approachable and that we listen and that we respond with the good of the person that we're dealing with in mind. We shouldn't be dismissive of people. We shouldn't not hear them out. We should spend that time getting to know, getting to hear what it is that their issues are and responding to them as we are able. Now, the way that we show this world around us God's standards is not by constantly reminding the world of their shortcomings, but by living Christ to them. As we do that, as we live in the light of God's love to us, so we do what the law and the prophets exhort us to. We exhibit the lifestyle, the kind of life that the law and the prophets are telling us that we should do. And we show them the one who fulfills both the law and the prophets. We show them Christ. We live heart and soul for God, demonstrating in our love for others the love that Christ has for us in all its fullness. Now, the only way, of course, that this is possible is to grasp that Christ alone can move us and enable us to live for him. And when we go wrong, we repent and we plead the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin, and we move forward empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we ourselves are to, as it were, knock upon God's door, expecting answers, knowing that he is a God who loves us. And then we are to demonstrate to others the same grace and the same love and the same willingness to listen and to hear their stories and their issues as God has shown to us. So I trust that you'll know God's hand as you do that this day. Let's pray. Father, as we think about these things, we want to praise you that we can trust you with our lives. We can trust you with every situation that we face. We know that when we come and seek you, Lord, that you are there and you hear our prayers and you respond. And more than that, Lord, you do what is good in our lives. And we praise you for that. We ask, Lord, that we might be as loving and as generous as and as kind to others who are around and about us. Lord, sometimes they might come to us and we might struggle with what it is that they're saying. But Father, we pray, may we draw them to look to Christ, and may we show Christ in the way that we act. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.